This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Markets digest the new NAFTA deal. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Overnight, Canada joined the U.S. and Mexico to overhaul the North American Free Trade Agreement. President Trump calls it a, quote, great deal for all three countries. Among final sticking points resolved overnight, Canada agreed to remove some protections for its dairy farms. The U.S. will have to live with the trade dispute resolution system it wanted to abolish. Many a Monday, we consult economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives in New York. Hi there.
Good morning.
So, a buoyancy to the stock market this morning. You think it's the NAFTA agreement overnight?
Look, probably it is a reaction to the NAFTA agreement, although I will say the actual agreement itself is rather unimpressive. This is a pretty narrow deal. There's a lot of things unresolved. It actually complicates certain aspects of the auto sector production and trading. So I wouldn't categorize it as a broad-based leveling of the playing field, reduction in frictions, which is what the original aim was. It's a bit piecemeal.
But you could imagine it's a sign to market participants that with all these trade disputes going on that the Trump administration is pursuing, there can be an end game. They can come together to sign and work towards signing something. It doesn't go on forever.
That would be the glass half full perspective on it. On the other hand, if the deals aren't comprehensive and clear, then the actual impact on international trade isn't going to be a productive or positive one. The details at the end of the day will matter to where production happens and the prices consumers pay. So details matter.
Julia Coronado, she's founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Always good to talk to you.
Likewise.
More of our coverage of this NAFTA milestone is in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed. General Electric stock is up 14% now on news a new CEO will replace the one who was there for just about 1 year. In is H. Lawrence Culp, who's been running a tech conglomerate called Danaher. GE profits and cash flow were getting worse despite recent efforts to go back to basics. Now to emerging market economies in a tough spot these days as capital tries to flow out, chasing higher U.S. interest rates, among other things. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has an update.
Every country has its particular challenges, but some things hit everybody. Harry Broadman monitors emerging markets at Johns Hopkins University. He says a couple of weeks ago, inflation was the big concern.
Now you've got a double whammy. The global price of oil has also started to rise.
In Turkey, for example, political issues have pulled down the lira's value compared to the dollar. And then there's that price of oil set in dollars. So
the price of oil, in effect, has doubled in dollar terms for Turkey.
And interest rates are going up across the globe. Lale Akinar is a market strategist at Bank of New York Mellon. She says higher rates bring more scrutiny.
Now the market players are questioning the fundamentals of some of the emerging market countries.
And where those fundamentals, political or economic, don't look good, it's going to be a lot harder and more expensive to fuel economic growth. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
As a nonprofit news organization, Marketplace is able to do what we do every day thanks to funding from public radio stations, foundations, corporate underwriters, and listeners like you. Thank you to all the Marketplace investors who've contributed over the last year for helping keep public service journalism strong. All of us really appreciate your support. The Major League Baseball season wraps up this evening with a couple of one-game playoffs to determine who will win the National League Central and the National League West. As always in baseball, pitching is key. And listen to the story about the weird economics of getting good pitching. It's from Marketplace's Andy Euler.
For more than a century, the main question baseball fans have asked about any given game was, who's pitching? But Jason Stark, a senior writer at the online sports site The Athletic, says times have changed.
If you're asking who's pitching tonight, and the answer is everybody, it's not the same product.
He says there's a new strategy to win games. Your starting pitcher doesn't have to go deep into the game if you have a bunch of great arms in the bullpen, ready to pitch to a batter or two at a time.
It's a window into the thinking inside front offices.
And for relief pitchers, the new strategy is translating into much higher salaries. Take the New York Yankees. Sure, their highest paid player is Giancarlo Stanton, a home run hitting outfielder.
But number 4 and 5 on your highest paid players on that roster are Aroldis Chapman and David Robertson, two relievers.
Eric Fisher writes about baseball for the Sports Business Journal.
There's no question we're seeing GMs continue to value bullpen arms more and more.
These days, starting pitchers who pitch into the fifth inning are something of a rarity. But the Tampa Bay Rays have taken the bullpen strategy to an extreme. For much of the season, the Rays would have a starter pitch an inning or two, only to be replaced with another pitcher. Fisher says baseball general managers don't think of pitchers in specified roles much anymore. That means starters and closers aren't the only ones getting paid a lot these days.
Those middle relievers, where that used to be a minimum salary, $1 million, $2 million kind of guy, they're very frequently mid-seven figures now. So even those non-closer roles are being elevated more. There's no question.
The new strategy also means more breaks from the action for pitching changes, which means more commercials for TV viewers. Game attendance is down about 4% this year, and although TV ratings are up in some regions, the league is worried about losing fans because games take too long. Jason Stark at The Athletic says it's down to a simple choice.
Baseball strategy versus entertainment strategy, which is more important?
Owners and league officials hope the two strategies don't have to be mutually exclusive. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Andy wanted me to say that his piece is about pitchers costing a leg and an arm. Wise guy. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.